Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Ches. We are holding on daf Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and we are up to Ahu Tavra, five lines from the end of the page, on Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and leading this month's mother, Golda Bar Simcha LaShalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to have some stories that relate, stories and halachos, that relate to being able to identify a woman, that there was a particular woman who is identified, and the woman that shows up may or may not be the same woman. Do we assume that the rabbis have the ability to identify that this is the same woman who they signed a shtar about? Then the Gemara is going to explain all of the different cases in our Mishnah about who pays the sofer in each case, which kinds of shtaros you could write for one party and not in front of the other party. So it's just going to go through one by one all of the different cases in our Mishnah. Then the first Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to be the sugya of asmachta. It's going to be the case where someone partially pays back a loan and he says, if I don't pay, and they trust the shtar instead of writing a shovar, they trust the shtar with the third party, and he tells the third party, the borrower tells the third party, if I don't pay back the balance by X amount of time, you can give the lender back the shtar, and then he'll have the koach to be able to collect the entire amount again. So does the third party actually do that, or do we assume that that was a guzma and that it's not something that he should be doing? So that's the sugya of asmachta. Then the mission at the bottom is going to talk about salvaging a shtar that was erased, and if there's how to salvage such a shtar, the Gemara is going to discuss a torn shtar and when you could tell that a tear was done purposely, and it was and this shtar was purposely invalidated, and how you could tell if it was not done purposely. Then the Gemara is going to tell the story relating to purposely making an erased shtar, and that will bring us toward pretty much toward the end of the daf. So let's begin at again five lines from the bottom of the page on daf Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Ahu Tavra, there was a particular shovar that had that said that a woman's ksuba had been fully paid already. Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. And Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba was one of the edim on the shovar. So Asil came, a woman came to Rav Yirmiya, Amrlei Lavana Havai. They're telling me that there's this shovar that says that my ksuba was already paid, and that therefore my husband doesn't owe me the ksuba anymore. But I'm not the woman, the person I'm not the woman that asked you to sign on the shovar. Maybe there's another woman that has the same name as mine, and she has a husband with the same name as mine, but it wasn't me. So that other woman gave her shovar to my husband, so now he's got a shovar that says that he's already paid up the ksuba, but it wasn't me. There's no way that that I ever asked you to sign a shovar. So Amar, so Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba said, Ananami Amri Lahu. You know, I also told the Adam that signed with me on the shovar, Love Iihi, that you're not the woman that had come to ask for the writing of the shovar. And it could be maybe that your ksuba was not paid up. Va'amru li, but the other Adam told me that you in fact are the woman that that's in question, that had asked us to sign the shovar. And the fact that I assumed you're not the same woman is mekashu dekashala uvagar lakala. The other Adam explained to me, you got a little bit older, your voice changed a little bit, your voice got thicker. As people age, their voice changes also. It certainly weakens over time, but your voice changes. So I just trusted that it's not the same, that it in fact is the same woman, and I just didn't recognize you. So Amrabai says that even though the Chacham tell us that they darshan from the pasukim lo yagid v'nasa avono, that kiven sheigid shuvenu chozer magid, once an aid says his edus, he's not able to back out from his edus and say something that contradicts his initial edus. So since Rabbi Yirmiya originally said this is not the same woman who they wrote a shover for, Luchari cannot be chozer and say that it is the same woman, but Tamil Chacham, like Rabbi Yirmiya, it's not typical for him to be able to carefully examine to see if it's the same woman, and to say, and if he therefore says that he made a mistake when he thought it was a different woman, and now he carefully examined and he realizes that it's the same woman, then he in fact would be Ne'eman. He can back out, because we assume that he didn't really look all that that carefully to be able to identify the woman, because Talmid Chachamim don't look all that carefully at women. So a few things over here. First of all, Kivin Shigit Shuvei Nechozer Magid, where does that come from? So Rashi in Ksuba Staf Yilchesam Beis writes that since the Pasuk is said in a lashon of Haggadah Achas, so the Chacham Darshan that Edom can only be made Haggadah Achas. It can only be made one statement. So once they use up that one time, they cannot go and be Makkish their previous Haggadah. However, the Ran in Ksubas Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis writes that the reason is because the second Haggadah, they're saying that their original Haggadah Seidus was Sheker, and a person can't say that he said Eidus Sheker. That's why Kivin Shigit Shuvei Nechozer Magid. By definition, every time you go and you retract Eidus, you're saying that you did a Maisa Rishus, because you're saying that your first Eidus was Eidus Sheker. The Rashba writes that even if they're not being Mashiach Atzmam, they're not believed, because it's a Gzeres HaKasuv that Kivin Shigit Shuvei Nechozer Magid, that it's not based on the Svara of Eino Demes Matzmo Rasha. So that's point number one. Point number two, more fundamentally over here, so we said that the Talmud Chacham is going to be believed to change it, in this case, to change his Eidus, because we assume Lav Orche the Medak, that he wasn't looking so carefully to identify the woman. Rav Elchanan, Kovit Shurim, Os Tafresh Chafbei says, well, if it's not the Derech of a Talmud Chacham, to be Medaktek Benashim, so forget about changing his Eidus, how could we ever be Mekabel his Eidus about a woman? He doesn't know who she is. He's never going to be able to identify her. So how come we're not choshesh that he's mistaken on the identity every time? So he says you have to say that Bedarach Klal Talmidei Chacham do not make this mistake, and we're not choshesh that it's going to happen. But if he said that in retrospect, that he in fact has made this mistake, it is a reasonable taina that he made that mistake. Meaning, Talmidei Chachamim, if they say they know who a person is, they know who a person is. But if they say they weren't looking that carefully, in retrospect, then we're going to believe them. Now, the reason that he's Neman to be Chozerbo, the Baal HaMaor writes, is because since it's a very common mistake, so we learn from here, says the Baal HaMaor, that any Eid Neman, any Eid is Neman to be Chozer and say that he had made a mistake, as long as it's something that's common that the Eid would make the mistake, and it's not a violation. Meaning, the Baal HaMaor says, what you see from this Gemara is not a particular case. What you see is a klal, that we have a klal, that whenever it's reasonable to assume, and it's fairly common, that someone would make this kind of mistake, we suspend the rule of Kivin Shehigid Shuveinu Chozer Magid. This is but one example of that, that Talmidei Chacham don't look so carefully at women, and therefore it's reasonable to assume that he misidentified the woman. The Ravid in his Hasagos on the Baal HaMaor says that that's only when someone is not darko ledaktik, like a Tzurim Rabbanon who's not medaktik benashim. But someone who's darko ledaktik, who we assume is going to be more precise and look carefully, we're not going to assume that he made a mistake. Okay, so now the Gemara says, I'll bring you another Maisa with Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Tavra, there was a shover of a ksuba that was paid, that said that the ksuba was paid. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Barabba was signed as an aid, as one of the aidim on this shover. So Amrlei, the woman whose name was written on the shover, said, Lavana Avai, I wasn't the woman that told you to write me this shover, and my ksuba has in fact not been paid. So Amrlei, Ibra Antavas. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to her, no, you are that woman that I signed on the shover. So Amr Abayi, Avogav Tzor Merabana Lavorach HaLemedak, even though it's not the derech of Talmidei Chacham to be medaktik in the identity of women, given to Dak, if he says that he was medaktik hetev, so then and he does know who she is, so he is believed. We trust that he was medaktik and that he knows exactly who the woman is. So the reason that he's Neman, so Luchora rather, it's a little bit difficult. What's the Chiddush? Meaning, once we say that if he says initially that it's not the same woman that he signed on the shofar, he's Neman to be Chozerbo, and to say that it is the same woman, so if he said the whole time it is the same woman, of course he's Neman. Meaning, once you have the previous halacha, that even when he said, oh, this isn't the right woman, and then he says, you know what, I just wasn't looking that carefully, it is the right woman, so we believe him to change his mind, we suspend Kivin Shigit Shuvein for him to be able to say it's the same woman. So if he said the whole time initially that it is the same woman, then of course he's going to be believed. So Tosos deals with this. Tosos Dibra Maskel, Kivin to Duck Duck, says Vim Tomar, Hechadam Mitchila Lav E, he Omar Sheyachel Lachs, your Kolskin, Shom Mitchila Zosi Dinamon, Avalbi Shein Darko, Liz Takel Ben. So Tritz, Hachikomar, Kivin to Duck Duck, Vim Rotzel Lachsar, Eino Chozer Magid. So Tosos says the Chiddush is that Kivin to Duck Duck, and now he's not going to be Naman to be Chozer Bo. Meaning once he says it is the right woman, and he says, I did look carefully, and I have made sure to ascertain that it's the right woman. Now we cannot do Kivin Shiga Tshuva. Now we apply Kivin Shiga Tshuva and Chozer Magid. We do not suspend Kivin Shiga Tshuva and Chozer Magid. That's the chiddush of this line. So Amar Abayi, Hayt Subim Rabbanan Da'azel Kedusha Itza. A Talmud Chacham who goes to be Mekadesh Nisha, he shouldn't go alone. Nidbar Amaretz Ba'day. He should bring along with him an Amaretz who knows how to check into women. Because if he goes alone, we're afraid. Dilma Machlufu Laminei. Maybe they'll switch the woman that he wants to be Mekadesh with another woman, because all women look the same to him. He doesn't know how to be Medaktik between one woman and the other. That's a Dafyomi coincidence, and he's Parshios HaShavuah. Maybe they'll switch the woman on him, on the Talmud Chacham. So you should bring an Amaretz. How many times does Shas talk about that, right? So they bring an Amaretz together with him, so that the Amaretz could say, no, that's not your girlfriend, that's not your fiance, so that he could make sure that he's given the right woman, because Mishum Tznius, he's not going to be able to tell the difference between one woman and the other, because he doesn't look so carefully. But the Amaretz, he's going to look very carefully. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Isur Bia Perchaf Aleph Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes that if a person is interested in getting married, he's allowed to be mistakel at the single woman to be able to see if he finds her attractive or not, and that is not usur. Not only is it not usur, ro'i lasos kein. You're supposed to do that before you get married. You want to make sure that you're attractive to the person. So the Ravid is Masig on the Rambam from our Sugya. He says, from the fact that the Chacham say that a Talmud Chacham's Mekadesh Nisha should bring an Amaretz together with him, sounds like Talmud Chacham are not Mestakel B'Isha, even when they want to be Mekadesh. Or otherwise, what does he need the Amaretz for if it's Ro'i Lasos Kein? If it's Ro'i Lasos Kein, then let him check himself. However, the Magen Mishnah rejects the Ravid. He says, no, Adrabba, if there was any Tzad Isser B'davar, then the Chacham would not have advised the Talmud Chacham, bring an Amaretz with you so you could be machshil him in his taklus barat. Right? You wouldn't bring an Amaretz to be machshil him in violating the Avera. It must be that there is no Avera when looking for the purposes of marriage. And even the Talmud Chacham can look. We're just choshesh. The Chacham are just choshesh that since he's not ragil to look at women, they're all going to look the same to him. Meaning, he'll find her attractive, but we're afraid that he's not going to know the nuances. Like someone who's used to looking at women will be able to say, oh no, this woman, her eyes were a different color. He didn't even know to look at her eyes, the Talmud Chacham. So the other person will be able to tell the differences that he won't be able to tell. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Arachayim Chedekal, Simul Chavav, where he says that even though we should be choshish that the Yama Aretz is going to be mistakel and with kavanah to be nena from her beauty, but since he's doing it litzorech, and she's a penuya taora, even if he has kavanah to be nena, it would not be an iser. And he says, according to those that ask it to be mistakel, when you have a kavanah to be nena, you have to say that the heter over here is that we're not choshesh that he's going to have kavanah to be nena from her. But Ramosh says the more pashtus is that even with kavanah to be nena, if it's a penuya taora and it's for the purposes of identifying who the person to marry is, that's going to be mutter. Okay, now says the Mishnah said va'bal nosin sachar, that when it comes to paying for the ksuba, the husband pays the sofer. So my time, why is it that the Baal pays the sofer, for the get rather, why is it that the Baal pays the sofer for the writing of the get? Damar Kra, because the pasuk says v'kasav v'nasan. It says v'kasav la sefer krisus v'nasan biyado v'shilcha mi beiso. So since the ksiva is something that is the husband's responsibility to do, so he has to pay the sofer, because the sofer is essentially working as his shaliach to write the get. So it's his responsibility to pay for the writing of the get. It's his responsibility. V'inna d'lav dinon hachi. And nowadays bizman hazeh, where we don't do this, and the woman ends up being the one that pays the sofer, it's Shavur Rabbanai Isha Kiech Delo L'Shaye. The Rabbanan imposed the payment for the writing of the get on the woman so that the husband will not withhold the get with the argument that he doesn't want to pay the sofer to write it. So the Chacham were misakein that the woman will pay for it, and she'll tell the sofer to be makir the get to the husband, because there's a tzorech that the get has to belong to the husband. He has to be able to give it to her. So the woman is with the Chacham were misakein, let the woman pay for it so that the husband won't delay in giving the get, and even though she paid for it, so technically it's hers, which is a problem, the sofer will be makne it to the husband so that it will be his, so that they're able to get divorced. The Yad Ramah points out that Chum were only misakin this in a case where he's megarish her l'ritzona, where the gerishin is considered a zchus for her, that she wants to get divorced, she's interested in getting divorced. But if he's megarish her bal karcha, where it's a chov for her, she's not interested, then she has no obligation to pay the sofer, then it would be the Baal's obligation to pay the sofer. Now we said weiter in the Mishnah, Kosvin Shtar Lulova, Aval Pishe in Malva Imo, that you can write a shtar for the Lova even though the Malva is not with him, because it's to the Chov of the Lova to have the shtar. The shtar says that the Lova owes money, but Valova knows in Sachar, the Mishnah went on to say, and the Lova pays for the writing of the shtar. So it says Mar Pshita, obviously the Lova pays for the writing of the shtar. He's the one that's getting hana'a from the halva. He's the borrower. He's the one that needs the money. The malva doesn't get any hana'a from this. So why should the malva have to pay for the writing of a shtar so that I can have the privilege of lending you money? I'm gonna pay for the writing of a shtar. So it says malo tzricha beiska. The Mishnah is telling me a case of an iska that the lova takes money in a way that half of it is considered a halva'a, which gets returned without any ribis, and half of it is considered a pikadon, and the lova is supposed to do business with the money that he's mekabel, and the lova takes the profit of the chatzi that's a milva, the half that's a loan. So since a loan you can't pay ribbis on, a loan you just have to pay back the principal. So whatever money I make on that, I the borrower get to keep, and the malva gets the profits of the half that's a pikadon. Meaning I want to start a business, so I need to borrow $100,000 from you to start the business. So I borrow $100,000, but the way we structure it is that I'm borrowing $50,000 and you're investing $50,000 in the business. You're becoming a $50,000 partner in the business. So if that business turns a profit of, let's say, an additional $50,000, I keep $25,000 that the $50,000 that I borrowed had produced, and you keep $25,000, and I pay you back $25,000 that your $50,000 had produced. So it's so in such a case where it's an iska like that, the malva gets hana'a. So the Mishnah is mechadish, and even though the malva is getting hana'a because he's making money off of the deal, it's not ribbis, but he's making money off of the deal. So even though he's getting hana'a, it's still the lova that pays the sofer, because the lova's hana'a is considered to be greater because he had no money. He couldn't start a business. The malva could have used this money in other places. He could have invested in other businesses. So the greater hana'a is for the lova, even though the malva is also getting hana'a. And that's why the lova has to pay. In general, we do this this type of arrangement in order to avoid an issa ribbis, right? Meaning if I want to lend you money and I want to get paid back ribbis, so we structure it in this way. We do an iska arrangement. Kosvin shtar l'mocher, afal pishein lokeach. You write a shtar for a mocher, even though the lokeach is not there. Meaning, so it says, because it's to the detriment of the mocher. The shtar says that the mocher had sold this piece of property, and the lokeach is the one that pays for the writing of the shtar. So it says, Gemara pshita, obviously the lokeach pays for the writing of the shtar. He's the one that's getting the anah. He's the one that's getting the property. So lo tzricha, We're talking about a case of a person who's selling a field because there's something terribly wrong with it. It's either something fundamentally terribly wrong with the field, or it's the location of it is terrible for him, and he's just dying to offload this field. And there's room to argue that in such a case, his hana is greater than the hana of the lokeach, and therefore the mocher should be the one to pay the sofer. So the Mishnah's mechadesh that we don't look at each case individually and say, well, let's see who's really getting the better end of the deal. Since in general the lokeach is the one that's benefiting, lokeach is always the one that writes the shtar. We don't have to individualize each case. So in kosin shtari erisin, we said that that the chasson pays the sofer for writing the shtari erisin. So it says where pshita, obviously the chasson is one that pays the sofer, who writes the shtar, where the avia chasson and the avia kala decide how much money they're going to be each be giving, because the chasson is one that's getting the bulk of the hana'a. So says more lo tzricha that the chiddush is, even if the son-in-law is a Talmud Chacham, where the father-in-law is so happy to be able to marry his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, so one might have argued that his hana'a is greater, and therefore he should have to pay the sofer. So the Mishnah's mechadesh that even in such a case, the chasson is one that pays the sofer. Again, we don't look at the individual cases, so even though in a chinami, a person may be very excited to marry his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, we generally view it as if the chasson is the one that's on the receiving end. He's the one that's getting the greater benefit, and therefore the chasson is always going to be the one to pay the sofer. The Machna writes that we could explain this only according to that which the Rashbam writes in the Mishnah on Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, that we're talking about shtari psikta, we're talking about shtaros that the aviyah chasson and aviyah kala are mechayiv to pay money. But if you explain that we're talking about shtari eris in mamish, so it's possible that the chasson has to pay for the sofer, even if he's a Talmud Chacham. Just like a get, it has to belong to him. So his shtar erisin, where he's going to, you know, the harayah mukadeshesli shtar, has to belong to him. The same way we ask the chasson under the chuppah, does the ring belong to you? So does the shtar belong to you in order to affect the shtar erisin? However, Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, we are talking about a shtar erisin mamish. And the kasha of the Gemara was not on the fact that the chasson pays for the writing of the shtar, it's that we write the shtar shalom, you know, that we write the shtar only midas shneim. So the Gemara says that there was makom to say that the chasson is when the chasson is talmud chacham, you don't need midas isha, because obviously the isha, he's the best guy in Lakewood. Everyone wants to marry him. So you would think that you don't need the das isha. So that's why it comes to tell me that the Mishnah's mechadesh that even in such a case you can only be kosev midas shneim. So in contrast to the previous few lines of Gemara, where it's all about who pays the sofer, this line of Gemara is not about that, says Rabbeinu Gershom. This line of Gemara is about writing the shtar with both parties present. That's because each line in the Mishnah dealt with both of those issues. Who needs to be there to write the shtar, and who pays for the shtar? So the past few lines were about who pays for it, and Rabbeinu Gershom learns that this line is not about who pays for it. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Ein kos shtar arisus v'kablanos. And we said that the makabel, the one who works as the aris or the kablan in the field, he's the one that pays for the shtar. So pshita, obviously, is the one that pays for the shtar. He's the one that gets the bulk of the hana'a, because this is his. He gets a job. When you get a job, people say mazel tov that you found a job. When you hire someone, no one says mazel tov, but when you get a job, people say mazel tov. So lo tzricha bebura. The case of the Mishnah is telling me that even a sada that you need to not work on for a little while, and there's not going to be any hana'a from that field for some time, still the arsa of the kablin pays for the sofer, because ultimately he's going to get hana'a, and still primarily he's he gets the ikra. Now it's an investment in the future. This field needs to be left empty to replenish its nutrients or whatever for a while, but ultimately he's investing in the future. Ein kosin shtari berurin el midash shnehem. So my shtari berurin. So what are shtari berurin that the Mishnah spoke about that you can't can't write Shtari Berurin unless they're both there. So Hacha Targimu in Bavel, they explain, it means Shtari Ta'anasa. Shtaros where the Sofer HaDayanim write the Tainos of both litigants, so that neither of them will be able to back out in their Taina. Neither of them will be able to say, I never said that. What I Tained was this. No, we have it. We go to the court records that it says right here that you said this. So they're going to lose out by the Shtari Berurin because they're not. It takes away their ability to modify their story. So that can only be written midashneim because they both lose out with the fact that there's what is it, the stenot, which I always get confused, which is the. Stenographer, right? The stenographer is the, right. Okay, so that's to the detriment of both people to a certain degree. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba Amar, no, Shtari Berurin means something else. It's a case where both Balei Din can't agree on a particular Beis Din. So in the Mishnah, the third paragraph of Sanhedrin, we're told, Zebar lo echad, v'zebar lo echad. So we are mevarer dayanim. This one chooses one dayan, that one chooses another dayan, then shneim mevarer od echad. So that's the shtar that we're talking about. So since there's a hefsin in writing this shtar, because you can't be chozer on it, that's it. Now you're stuck with that Beis Din, so we only write it midah shneim. Rav Shimon gam liyalo, mer l'shneim, kol tzvin shneim, So says that maybe Tanakam and Shungum Liel are arguing about Kofan al Midas Sodom, that if a person is not going to lose anything, can we force him to enter into an agreement where he stands to lose nothing? And he doesn't want to do it, even though it's going to cost the other guy. That's a Midas Sodom. So over here also, there's no loss from writing a Shtar Echad that are going to have the Tainos of both of them, and you're not going to have to be motzi mamon, extra money for the writing of Shnei Shtaros. The Marsavar Kofin, the Tanakam holds with Kofal Midasdom, and therefore even if one of them does not want to write his Tainos in that Shtar with his with the other guy's Tainos, we still do it Bal Karcho. Umar Savarain Kofin Ram Shum Gumil says we don't force someone, even in a Midasdom case, and each one could say that he wants to write his own personal Shtar. So Lo says, well, that's not the argument. To Kuli Alma Kofin, everyone agrees Kofin al Midasdom. Vahachai Nutaima, the Ram Shum Gumil, the reason Ram Shum Gumil says that we write Shnei Shtaros is Da'amar Leh, because each of the Balei Din could say to the other one, Lo Nichli David Zchuscha Gavi Zchusi. It's not pleasant to me, it's not pleasing to me that my Zuchuyos, meaning my Tainos, that I'm claiming that I'm correct and that I'm right and that I should win this case, are written in the same Shtar with your Tainos. To Damas Aleki Arya Arva, you're like an attacking lion that's trying to say all these lies. I don't want my name and my Tainos associated with all the lies that you're coming and telling in Beis Din. I want my titles written in a separate shtar. It's so displeasing to me, all the terrible things you're saying here to try to cost me money. I don't want my name anywhere near that. So that's a reasonable taina that the guy can have. Okay, so now the new Mishnah deals with the issue of asmachta. Misha para mitzas chovo. If a guy paid a part of the chov, and he doesn't want that the malva should keep the shtar because part of it was already paid. So then if the malva has the shtar, he'll be able to get repaid the whole thing. But the malva doesn't want to give the lova back the shtar because it's not fully paid yet. So what do they do? Vishlish shtar. They give the shtar to a third party with the following instructions. Va'amra lo. And the lova tells this third party, Imlo etein lecha mikan v'adyom ploni, if I don't give the remainder of the chov to the malva by a certain date, tein lo shtaru, then I give you permission to return the shtar to the malva and he could collect the entire chov, even though I already paid a portion of it. He gives man v'lo nasan, so if the time comes and he has not paid the rest of the chov, Rabbi Yossi Omer yitein, so he's got to live up to his word, so the shlish is therefore allowed to give the shtar back to the malva. Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo yitein. Rabbi Yehuda says no, since his chayvus is not going to be chal, the lova didn't really mean it, you're not allowed to give the shtar back to the malva. Now the Rishonim raised the question, why isn't it ribbis? Meaning, if you're going to give it back to the malva, he's already been paid, it was a $100 loan, he's already been paid $50. Now the malva is going to get the shtar back, they're going to get paid, that says that he's owed $100, he's going to collect the full $100, he will have gotten paid $150 for a $100 loan. So the Rimigash and the Rashba and the Meiri all say that the Issa ribbis is agarnatar, is when the lova is gives the malva extra money because he's allowing him to hold on to his money for longer. Over here, if he would have said that in exchange for the fact that he's being ma'arich the zman apiraon, he'll pay him extra, so then that would be an issa ribis. But in the case in our Mishnah, he's saying that if he pays the remainder of the chov at the time that they were koveya, he's not going to have to add anything. It's just that if he doesn't pay within that zman, then they'll return the shtar to the malva and it'll then collect the entire chov. So since he's not paying him any payment for the for being marich the zman of the chov, the fact that he was marich originally, he didn't pay anything for it. He could still pay the just the remainder, meaning presumably when he paid part of the chov, that was when it was due. And he didn't pay the whole thing, and the fellow was ma'arich this man and he still has the opportunity to pay just the actual amount of the chov, and then when he doesn't do it by a later date after the arachas hazman, there's going to be this further penalty. So that's not ribbis. Now the Rishonim point out it's still usr, it's still haramas ribbis, it's still ribbis midrabanan, but at least it's not ribbis midaraisa. So anyway, so that's the machlokas in our mishnah. So says Gemara b'maik. What is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yossi savras machtakanya, that a person is mechayev mamon on a tenai that something is going to happen in the future, and he assumes that that's just never going to happen, and therefore I'm not really going to ever have to pay the money. And then it happens, so he's bound by his agreement. Rabbi Yehuda savras machtalokanya. Rabbi Yehuda says the chiyuv that comes because he thinks it's never going to come, and then he's nenas. And it comes, and he wasn't expecting it. That is not kona. He is not bound by that agreement. The reason that asmachta is not kona, the Rashbam writes on Kufayin Gimel and Beis, is because if he knew that his machshava would not be meskayim, he never would have been mechayiv himself. And the Rambam says something very similar. The Achronim just struggle that if he never had a gemira stas, even if he never had a gemira stas to be makna, which is the way they understand asmachta, that I said I was going to pay the whole amount if I don't pay you back in 2 weeks from now, because I thought I was going to pay you back in 2 weeks from now. I never had a gemira stas that I wasn't going to pay you back in 2 weeks from now. So what, says Rav Shimon and Shari Yoshi. He says, I don't understand. Dvarim shebelev enim dvarim, meaning that may be what you were thinking, but it's irrelevant what you were thinking. What you agreed to is to pay it back. How can you say asmachta lo kanya? So Rav Shimon explains in Shari Yoshi that mitzad asvara, it doesn't make any sense that a maisa should be chal only with a particular tenai. Either a maisa is chal right away, or it's not chal at all. But the Torah is mechadesh in the parsha of tenaim that you're allowed to do a maisa and attach a tenai to it that it should only be chal in a particular if a particular outcome is achieved. But that parsha is only in the case where a person wants that the maisa should be limited by those tenais. But over here, where he doesn't want it at all that the maisa should be chal, even if the tenai is mekuyam, he's just so mech that it's never going to be mekuyam. So then the whole parsha of tenai is not going to be relevant. So we go back to we go back to what it would have been had the Torah not been mechadesh the parsha of tenai. So that's how Rav Shimon understands the mechanics of a smachta lo kanya, of why it works that a smachta lo kanya. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Yossi. We pass on Rabbi Yossi that a smachta is Kanya kiyosel kamed Rabbi Ami Amar lehu v'chumiachas Rabbi Yochanan amdenu pam rishonu v'shnia halach Rabbi Yossi ani ma'aseh. Once he taught us that halachas Rabbi Yossi that asmachta kanya, I can't argue on that. But vein halach Rabbi Yossi, we pasken not like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda that asmachta is lo kanya, that asmachta does not work. The Rashbam writes, even though Rabbi Yossi is nimuko imo, so normally we do pasken like Rabbi Yossi. He normally explains himself very well, but over here it's an exception. We don't pass on like Rabbi Yossi. And that's what Tosfos writes in Masechta Shavuos, that the reason the Gemara has to specifically go out of its way to not pass on like Rabbi Yossi is because the default is that we always do pass on like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi is Nimuko Imo. Now, the million-dollar question when it comes to Asmachta is what exactly is the difference between Asmachta and Tanai? Tanai also means that I'm only going to be Chayiv if X, Y, or Z happens in the future, and I hope it doesn't happen because I don't want to be Chayiv. So why is that any different than Asmachta? So the Ramban writes that the Chilik is whether the Kiyum HaTanai is totally in the person himself, fulfilling the Tanai, like B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvain, they have the ability to go out and help fight the Milchama. That's where we learn all of Tanai from. So it's completely B'yadam versus something that's not B'yadam. Then the Ramban says, well, over here, paying back is kind of B'yadam. The guy could choose to pay back or not. He says, yeah, but when it's a guzma, when it's clearly something that's an exaggerated promise, which doesn't make any sense that a person would commit himself to, that would also fall under Asmachta and not fall under Tanai. And there are many, many other Mahalchim in the Rishonim as well. But weiter now, says the Mishnah, Mishnah Nimchak Shtar Chov, if a Malva has a Shtar Chov against the Lova and some water fell on it or it somehow became smudged, Mamad Alav Edim, they bring Edim who had seen it prior to it being erased, Ubalavne Bezin, and he comes to Bezin with the Edim, Vosnal Kiyim, and they're Mekayim the Shtar in front of Bezin, and they write on this Shtar that's Nimchak, Ish Ploni Ben Ploni, Nimchak Shtaro Beyond Ploni, that the Shtar was erased on this day, Ploni Ploni Edav, and these were the Edim that were signed on the Shtar, and therefore they rejuvenate the Shtar. Tan Rabban, Ezu Kiyumo, what is the Nusach of the Kiyum of a Shtar that was Nimchak? So they write, but most of Tosa Avina, we sat as three Dayanim, Anu, Ploni, Uploni, Uploni, Hosi Ploni Ben Ploni Shtar Machuk Lefanenu, and this Malva brought out an erased Shtar, Beyond Ploni, on this day, that was written on this date, Uploni, Uploni Edom, and they go over what the original Nusach of the Shtar was. Vim Kosovo, and if in the Shtar Hakiyum they added, Huskatru Leidusan Shaledim, and Nimse Seidusan Muchuvenas, that we examined the Edim and that were signed on the Shtar that was erased, and it turned out they were telling the truth. So Gova, the Malva, can collect with such a Kiyum from the time that was written in the original Shtar. Veino Tzarech Lavi Raya, does not need to bring an additional Raya about the date of the Chov or the amount of money that has a full din of a Kiyum Shtaros. Veim Lav, but if they don't write this Nusach of Huskaknu, then Tzarech Lavi Raya, then the Malva has to bring a Raya about all the details that are written in the Shtar. The Zman Alva, the amount of money, because otherwise the Nitva could say that it was a Shtar Mezuyav. So Nikra Pasul, Niskara Kasher. If a Shtar is torn, got torn, then it's Pasul. But if it was purposely torn, then I'm sorry, the other way around. If the Shtar was purposely torn, it's Pasul. But if it just got a tear in it, then it's going to be kosher. Nimchak onitashtesh im rishum onikar kosher. If it became erased or smudged, but you could still see what the original writing was, then it's going to be kosher. So it says, well, let's go back to the tearing thing. Hechidami nikra, hechidami niskara. When we see a shtar that's torn, how are you going to know if it was purposely torn and therefore purposely invalidated, or if it was accidentally torn? So two possibilities. Amravida nikra kereshal be. Niskara kereshenu shel bezin. Nikra means a kereshel bezin, and niskara is kereshenu shel bezin. Well, hechidami. Well, how do you know what's a kereshel bezin or not? Hechidami kereshel bezin. Some Rav Yehuda makom edim makom zman makom atorav. You look at where it's torn. So if it's torn on the most chashuva pieces of information in the shtar, that must have been done purposely, and therefore they purposely invalidated it. The shtar is pasul. Abaye Amar Shesiva Erev, that they tear the shtar in a way where it's in both directions, and it's clear, that doesn't happen by accident. A tear by accident is haphazard. But a tear that's done, Shesiva Erev, where it's in it's a crisscross type of tear, then you know that was done purposely. Shesiva Erev doesn't mean that they tear the whole document in both directions. It means that there's a tear within the document that it goes in both directions. But it doesn't have to be that the document is torn into four pieces. Hanuar Voidasil Pumbedisa, there was a Yishmaelim that came to the city of Pumbedisa, Davaka Ansi Arasa de Inchi, and they were stealing people's carcasses and taking the shtaros mekach that they had as well, in order that the nigzalim will never be able to be ma'arer and prove that the shtar belongs to them. So asumar v'sayil kameda abayi amalei lechzimar shtarin avelichtavlon mar. shtarach rina lei. And so the owners of these lands went to Abaye and said, here's our shtaros. Before they confiscate everything from us, write us another shtar so we can keep that in our back pocket. So when they confiscate the land and the shtar, we'll have another shtar. The min is chad, naktin chad biyadon, we'll still have the other one. So amalahu Abaye said, my avilchu, what do you want me to do for you? Damar of safri, and kosan shtay shtaros, salsada achas, dil matarif, adar tarif. You can't write two shtaros in one field because maybe there's an outstanding loan and they're going to collect from this field. They're going to use they're going to take this field as their collection, and then you're going to come back and you say, "Oh, but I have a shtar that it belongs to me." So the people they were begging Abaye that he should write this other shtar, even though he said that you're not allowed to, and they were annoying him so much. So he figured to get them off his back. Amale the safri, he told the sofer zilk sovlehu, go write for them a shtar mekach and erase the nusach of the shtar that you write, and then hu al mechak, rewrite the shtar over the erased part. Veidav al niyar, sign the edim on the blank paper. Depasel, and that way it will be pasel anyway. But at least it'll get them off my back. So I'm like Ravach Ramanim la Abaye Dilma Rishum Nicker. But maybe you'll still be able to see the original writing under the mechak. V'tanya nimchal gandash yishum rishum nicker kasher. And then it's going to be kasher. So you're writing them a kasher shtar. I'm like Mikamina shtar ma'aliyah aleph peis ba'al makamina. When I said to write an original shtar and then erase it, I don't mean write the actual nusach. Just write a bunch of letters and then erase that, and then write this on the mechak, and then when the ikar is on the mechak, and then the rest, and then the edim are signed on the niyar, then that's going to be possible. That will keep them off my back. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tanur Rabbanan. Everyone have a wonderful day.